Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Joshua chapter 13. We are not going to be reading all of this chapter, as much of it is a description of the land of Canaan that we are unfamiliar with and is actually, to be honest, very hard to pronounce all the names. And so we will read portions of Joshua chapter 13 and through chapter 14, verse 5. Joshua 13 will begin at verse 1. And what we hear now is God's Word. "Now Joshua was old and advanced in years. And the Lord said to him, 'You are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. This is the land that yet remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Gershuites, from the Shihor, which is east of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Ekron. It is counted as Canaanite. There are five rulers of the Philistines, those of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, and those of the Avim. In the south, all the land of the Canaanites and Merah, which belongs to the Sidonites, to Aphek, to the boundary of the Amorites, and the land of the Gerbalites and all Lebanon toward the sunrise, from Baal-Gad, below Mount Hermon, to Lebo Hamot, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon to Mishrapoth-Maim, even all the Sidonians. I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. Only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. With the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them." And then it describes exactly what that land was. We'll pick up the reading in verse 14. "To the tribe of Levi alone, Moses gave no inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord God of Israel are their inheritance, as he said to them. And Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of the people of Reuben, according to their clans," and in the description of what that land looked like. From verse 24, "Moses gave an inheritance also to the tribe of Gad, to the people of Gad, according to their clans." And that land is described for us in the verses following. And then verse 29, "And Moses gave an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh. It was allotted to the half-tribe of the people of Manasseh, according to their clans." And then that land is described in verse 30 and 31. We pick up the reading at verse 32. "These are the inheritances that Moses distributed in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel is their inheritance, just as he said to them. These are the inheritances that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel gave them to inherit. Their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the nine and one-half tribes. For Moses had given an inheritance to the two and one-half tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the people of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. And no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in with their pasture lands for their livestock and their substance. The people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land." And here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, for those of you who are visiting with us this evening, we have for the last number of weeks together been looking at the book of Joshua. We have seen how God was in control to take his people into the promised land, how he went ahead of them and conquered the land for them. And last time, we finished the first half of the book that deals with the conquest of the land of Canaan. Tonight, we begin our entrance into the second half of the book, and one that I said I thought would go much quicker than the first half of the book. the section that deals with the division of the land. Now, I know that when we get to a text like this, particularly if I had read all the names and all the descriptions, it becomes somewhat tiring to hear this this text go on and on about people and places that we really know nothing about, and some of which don't even exist anymore. It's easy for us to come to a text like this, or perhaps others in Scripture with lots of names in them, and want to just skip over them. But we remind ourselves of what God Himself says about His Word. He doesn't say that some of it is profitable. He doesn't say that most of it is profitable. God says all of it is profitable and useful for instruction, for teaching, for training, for correcting in righteousness. Now, to be sure, a text like this may take a little more work to get into, to find its profitability. But the question is not if the text speaks to us. The question is, how does the text speak to us? For we confess all of God's Word is profitable for His people. Tonight, we look at the beginning of the land divided. And we see that just as God was in control in the conquest of the land, so He is in control in the division of the land. The land is divided to God's people according to His instructions. Chapter 13 deals with the division of the land on the east of Jordan for the 2.5 tribes of Israel. And to recall why that was done, we need to remind ourselves of what took place back in Numbers chapter 32. In Numbers 32, before Israel has gone over the Jordan, we read this. Now the people of Reuben and the people of Gad had a very great number of livestock. And they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that's the ones that are on the east side of the Jordan, and behold, the place was a place for livestock. So the people of Gad and the people of Reuben came to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and to the chiefs of the congregation. And the land that the Lord struck down before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. And they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants for a possession. Do not take us across the Jordan. And they discussed that for a while, what that would mean to them. And Moses finally says, yes, we will give you this land, not the land in Canaan. We will give you this land on the east side of the Jordan. It was a promise made by Moses, a promise that is now being fulfilled some 400 years later. Excuse me, some 40 years later. Some 40 years later, as they now are in the land and prepared to go in, and this livestock, where they had this place for livestock, it perfectly fits who they were. They were cattlemen. They were herdsmen. They needed a great place for their livestock. And they said, this land is perfect. And so God gave them exactly the land that they needed. He put them exactly where He wanted them to be, where they could use their talents of raising livestock in a place that was prepared for that. So the people in the east of Jordan were given a land that perfectly fit their particular needs, that perfectly fit their particular abilities. God put them where He wanted them. The land west of the Jordan, the land of Canaan, was also divided by God. We have that in chapter 14. Verse 2, their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 1/2 tribes. Now, just because it was by lot doesn't mean it was by random. We don't know exactly how that lot was determined. But we know what God says in the book of Proverbs. The lot lands in the lap, but the decision is from the Lord. Even though they cast lots, whatever that meant for them at that time, God directed and put the people exactly where He wanted them to be. And we'll see as that land is divided up, they each got just what they needed. The larger tribes got larger portions. The smaller tribes got smaller portions. Each was put just where he belonged. It was not by accident or simply by haphazard the land was divided. But those who needed land for livestock were given land for livestock. Those who needed great lands were given great lands. Those who needed less were given less. All were given exactly what they needed to be used in God's service. And isn't that exactly what God still does today? He still puts us exactly where He wants us to be. When God gives us a particular gift, a particular talent, it is to be used in His service, and He puts us in places that we can do that. We saw evidence of that tonight. God has given our kids wonderful memories to remember the songs and voices to sing and hands to move. And we saw them using their particular gifts exactly where He wanted them to be, helping us to enjoy the glory of the story of Christmas. God gives us intelligence. For some, He's given great intelligence that obligates us to use that gift in the service of God. He will put us where He wants us in His kingdom. But to use the particular gifts and talents He has given in His servants, in His service. For some, He's given us dexterity with our hands. For others, great voices. For others, great memory. Whatever the particular gift or talent, God calls you to use it where He places you. In your family. In your church, in your workplace, in your community, God still guides and directs and places us exactly where He wants us and gives us the ability to use those talents in His service. The land was divided by God Himself, by the promises made earlier by Moses, and by the lot directed by God to put the people where He wanted them. The land was divided also based on prophecy God had made many years earlier. You might recall the story from Genesis chapter 49. This is the story of Jacob, of Israel. We're talking about the sons of Israel. This is the story of Jacob, Israel. Before he dies, he speaks to his sons. And he gathers them around him, and he's going to tell them about the blessing of the land they shall receive. From Genesis 49. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come. Assemble and listen, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel your father." So this is Israel speaking to his sons. "Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the firstfruits of my strength. Preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power, unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence. But because you went up to your father's bed and defiled it, he went into my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers, weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul come not into their counsel. O my glory, be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob. I will scatter them in Israel. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouches as a lion, and as a lioness who dares to arouse him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet." And on goes Jacob, telling his sons what will happen to them. And it's exactly what happens. Judah, the one who shall have the scepter, not depart from him, ends up with the land directly in the center of the land, where the rulers would come from. Judah is given the land around Jerusalem, the city of the king. And it was from the line of Judah then that all the kings would come. And finally, that great king, the king we heard about tonight, King Jesus Christ, coming in that line. The word spoken by Jacob so many years earlier, the prophecy given as he was on his deathbed, comes to fruition now in our story tonight, which is 400 years after that prophecy was given. The land divided among the 12 tribes. Now, I know we have to think about that just a little bit, the 12 tribes. After all, we read in the text that Levi is given no land. So Levi doesn't get any land. But still, there are 12 allotments that are made. And you remind yourself that it was because the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, were both credited as Jacob's sons. We don't read about Joseph, the tribe of Joseph, in the Joshua story. But it was because Israel took Ephraim and Manasseh to himself that there are now still 12 tribes, even though Levi doesn't get anything. And if you look at the way we speak about these special sons, about Ephraim, about Manasseh, about Judah, they are given most of the land. These three tribes, these special tribes, these special sons of Jacob are given in their three about 2/3 of all the land in themselves. The rest are given small portions. Again, the reminder that for those who live according to God's will, for those who seek to honor Him, so often God provides the blessing. Judah, put right in the center of the land to rule. Ephraim and Manasseh, those special sons adopted, the sons of Joseph, adopted by Jacob himself, take up a lion's share of the land that is given in Joshua. It is a wonderful reminder that the prophecy made so many years earlier would be given exactly as God intended. Now we read that Levi had no land. And it reminds us also that this land, although given as an inheritance, given by God, was divided based upon the actions of the sons of Israel. Levi and Simeon, actually, really received no particular land for themselves. If we read later in Joshua chapter 19, the second lot came out for Simeon, for the tribe of the people of Simeon, according to their clans, and their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the people of Judah. They weren't really given their own particular place, but they were kind of scattered throughout Judah's inheritance. And again, verse 9 of chapter 19, the inheritance of the people of Simeon formed part of the territory of the people of Judah, because the portion of the people of Judah was too large for them. The people of Simeon obtained an inheritance in the midst of their inheritance. So Levi gets no land. Simeon gets some land, but it's kind of scattered throughout Judah. And that also according to the command of God. To know why that division takes place, we have to go back to the actions of Simeon and of Levi that even are before Genesis 49, back in Genesis 34. A dark story in the life of the sons of Jacob. The story of their sister, Dinah, and how this man Shechem wanted to marry Dinah, and he actually goes with Dinah and defiles Dinah, and the sons are ready to go to war, and Shechem wants to marry Dinah. And so the sons of Jacob say, look, you can marry Dinah. The sons of Israel say, you can marry Dinah, Shechem, but what you have to do is you have to be circumcised, and all your men have to be circumcised. And Shechem loves Dinah so much that he's willing to do that and somehow talks his men into it as well. And yet while they are healing, two of the sons, Levi and Simeon, take up their swords and kill Shechem and his men. They take up their swords in violence, although they have made a deal. And they shed blood, innocent blood. And you see now why Jacob on his deathbed says, Reuben, you are unstable as water. You shall not have preeminence. Why he says in verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul not come into their counsel. Jacob says, I will divide them in Jacob. I will scatter them in Israel. And 400 years later, that is exactly what happens. Levi given no land, only cities scattered throughout the land. Simeon given no land, only a portion of Judah. The words Jacob spoke because of his son's actions 400 years ago now come back to haunt the children so many years later. The sins of the fathers visited to the third and the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh generation. Do you think that Simeon and Levi ever thought, when they took up swords against Shechem, when they broke their word, that 400 years later, their descendants would still be bearing the curse and the shame of that action? What a warning and reminder to us. The decisions that we make now, whether we see it or not, will have consequences that last for us and for our children for years to come. These young men made a rash decision. Young people, that's why we are so concerned about the decisions that you make. You are faced with making decisions about marriage, about work, about schooling, decisions that you make now that you can't even see the consequences of. Why we are so concerned about who it is that you date. Why we are so concerned about what work you might take on. We are so concerned about all decisions in your lives because whether you realize it or not, the decisions you make now will bear fruit for years and years and years to come. And those bad decisions can continue to haunt us for years to come and to haunt our children and our grandchildren. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. I will divide them in Jacob. I will scatter them in Israel. By their actions, they were cursed, and that curse lasted even 400 years later as the land is being divided. The decisions we make affect our lives now, affect our lives in the future. Now we have to note also this last section that speaks about Levi. Levi wasn't given any land. Levi was only given cities. Verse 14 of chapter 13. To the tribe of Levi alone, Moses gave no inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord God of Israel are their inheritance, as he said to him. And again from verse 33. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel is their inheritance, just as he said to them. Now that doesn't sound like a curse. That sounds like a blessing. Levi doesn't simply get land. They are told the Lord is your inheritance. What happened? What happened to the curse from Simeon and Levi from so many years ago? Why is it Levi, although given no land, is told the Lord himself is your inheritance? Well, that's because of one more story from Israel's past. The story of Exodus 32, the golden calf. Moses is up on the mountain and he's beginning to come down and he hears a sound in the camp and there's a noise going on. It's the sound of revelry, of partying. And Moses comes down and he sees how the people have gone crazy and are defiling themselves before God. And he says, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who will stand with me?" And the sons of Levi stand with Moses. And Moses tells them, "Take up your swords once again and destroy the people who have defiled themselves before God." And Levi does just that. Once again, takes up the sword. This time, on behalf of the honor of God. And as a result, God transforms the curse into a blessing. It is true they would still receive no land, no inheritance, only cities. But God takes that curse and turns it into a blessing. The Lord God of Israel is your inheritance. What a wonderful reminder that is for us. Some of us have made choices in our younger lives, for which we still bear the consequences. But it doesn't mean that we have somehow forever disqualified ourselves from the service of God. If you have made choices either in the distant past or the recent past that you know you're going to bear the consequences for, don't think that somehow you are now out of God's plan. For when we turn to Him and take up our swords on His behalf and obey Him, He is able to take the curse and transform it into a blessing. He is able to take even our weakness, even the sinful choices we have made, and still, although we bear the consequence, take that choice and transform it into a blessing for us. Levi given no land, and yet their inheritance was the Lord God of Israel Himself. Because of their actions, they were given the inheritance of God. Now we know that our entrance into salvation is nothing of what we do. Our actions bear no weight on God choosing to save us for salvation. But having been saved, we're now called to live in obedience to Him. And to be sure, our actions do make a difference on the reward God shall give us in heaven. The reward is still a gift of grace. But don't think for a minute that the thief on the cross and the Apostle Paul share the same reward in heaven. God chooses to bless us according to our obedience. Their entrance into the land by the grace of God. The division of the land according to their actions. How are you living today? If you have made decisions, if you have done things in the past, God is not through with you. But whenever we confess, whenever we turn to Him and ask for forgiveness and commit ourselves to following in His ways, He is even able to take what seems like a curse and transform it into a blessing. The lesson we learn from the division of the land is that God is still in control. We cannot out-sin the love and grace of God. He does not say, "I'm through with you," when we really mess up. But for anyone who turns in repentance and faith, God is quick to forgive and God is abundant to bless. The sons of Levi, no land. The Lord God Himself was their inheritance. May that be our assurance as we go into the week to come, as we reflect upon our past, knowing the decisions we have made, not allowing that to shape our future, but allowing God to shape our future as He calls us again tonight to be obedient, to return, to come back to Him. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we know and we confess You are in control. And we know that You put us exactly where You want us to be. Help us, O God, to use the particular gifts and talents and abilities where You have placed us in Your service. Lord God, may we leave tonight going forward confidently, knowing that You are in control, knowing that You do all things perfectly. And when we have fallen short, when we have sinned against You, may we not allow that to color the rest of our life. May we hear the glorious words that You Yourself may be our inheritance. That when we turn from our sinful ways, You do forgive, and You do restore, and You do bless. Encourage us tonight, O God, that You are the one who is good and perfect and wise and does all things according to Your glorious plan. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.